So happy you're here. Stephen Emily.
Thank you, Judy Seibert, for this, our latest introduction. Bill Teague used to say that.
Yeah. Introduction Express.
Yeah. Well, behold, if you don't know why you're here or who we are or anything like that, we have it on the board behind us. In the first half, if you were here, you heard our lament coming out of our perception that the story, the old, old story, the narrative about Jesus Christ has faded a bit from presentation in our worship assemblies, and that we need to restore that story to its rightful place. And we supported that from Philippians and Colossians, where Jesus is presented as the centerpiece, the core of worship and thought in the first century church. And so we drew a lot from Colossians and Philippians and the idea of the mind of Christ. We have a sense that in order to get the picture of Jesus the Christ during his earthly life, we need to look at the Gospels now. And in looking at the Gospels, we have an opportunity to bring Jesus into our hearts and heads as he was seen by those who were with him. And that is what comprises that story. And we need to see him. And this is how we can see him, through what he did and what he said. And then we can see him whole and we can follow him knowingly. I'm going to paraphrase an Old Testament passage that is about absorbing God's law, Deuteronomy 11. I'm going to paraphrase it and apply it to what we must do in order to see Jesus and be his disciples. You'll recognize this from Deuteronomy 11, even as I distort it in this adaptation. You shall put these words and actions of Jesus in your heart and soul. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as a picture in your head. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you are at home and when you are away and when you lie down and when you rise. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your dashboards and on your login screen on your computer. Do it so that you can see Jesus, so that your children can see Jesus, so that your neighbors will see Jesus in every place you set your foot, so that the mind of Christ will be in every believer. In some of our churches, there is a little sign on the back of the pulpit with words that are taken from John 12, 20, 21, spoken by some nameless Greeks who had come to Jerusalem. They approached Philip and they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And that is ostensibly what the congregation is asking the person at the pulpit to provide, whether that person is standing at the pulpit, speaking in prayer, communion, meditation, leading the church in singing, giving announcements, a sermon, a scripture reading. Apparently, "Sir, we would see Jesus" is the congregation's request to give us a vision of Jesus, who he is. And our thesis in these two presentations is that there is some evidence that these words, "we would see Jesus," have become a bit of a distant and unanswered call in many of our churches. Is it too much to hope that we in every assembly would hear something that Jesus actually said and something about what he actually did? For we believe it is only in that way. We believe it is necessary in that way, if we are to see Jesus, really see Jesus. If we see him, we'll be compelled to follow him, as did those disciples long ago. If we cannot see him, he will be very difficult to follow.
We can see him by paying attention to the testimony of those who saw him in the flesh, heard him speak, who walked and ate and rested and labored and suffered and wept with him. This testimony comes from the four Gospels. And Luke makes it clear that all of this testimony is from eyewitnesses who really saw him. Not a disembodied attitude, not a complicated theology, not a cause, but a person, a body. After 3 years or so of following him, they were rocked by what he said. and they would not leave him. They would not abandon him. To whom shall we go? We can see him through their eyes. And if we don't see him week in and week out through hearing their audible witness, we won't be very good disciples, because discipleship is first and foremost being students of Jesus Christ. And we won't be the church of Christ. When we say we know someone, it means fundamentally that we have seen what they do, how they live their life, hear what they say and how they say it. There's more to knowing someone deeply, but that's where it starts.
And knowing Jesus deeply, which we are called to do, begins there. When I can see him, I can follow him. I need to see Jesus, a person, a life lived right in front of me. And that requires being confronted at least weekly, preferably daily, by simply hearing about what he did and what he said. It's actually how I have come to know my paternal grandfather, who died 10 years before I was born. He had a remarkable life, and the stories about him, the correspondence he left behind, the poems he wrote, the sermons he preached, the people who knew him, his children, his grandchildren, who are older than I am, my cousins, have all provided an important standard in me for the kind of person I want to be. I know him, having seen him through the eyes of others. I know him through the eyes of others because I have researched his life and have even written about it. I've seen him, even though the sources of information are not complete. And by the way, if you want to know more about my grandfather, in the work that Carice Berryhill has done with this library in her archive, is what she calls the Limley Collection. And the story of my grandfather, who was the first ordained, and they used the word, ordained preacher in Eastland County. In Eastland County. Talk to Carice. Okay, yes.
But he is not in you. Christ is in you. And so...
And yeah, I do have his DNA.
Oh, you do have his DNA. So first, what did Jesus do? By reading the four accounts, we will get together a little resume, a little vita of his 3 years on earth, where his ministry happened. He went to John for baptism in the River Jordan and was visibly anointed by the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, and he heard the approving voice of God. He fasted in the desert. He was tempted by Satan to miraculously produce bread, to do signs and wonders, to announce his sonship of God, and he was offered dominion of the whole earth by Satan, but he resisted. He gathered some disciples. He turned water into wine at a wedding. He purified the temple of God in Jerusalem from merchants who were turning it into a place of business. He went into a despised land, Samaria, where he met an adulterous woman at a well and treated her with respect and turned her into a witness for him in the despised village of Sychar. He converted many of the Samaritans to life in the kingdom. In Capernaum, he healed the dying son of a royal official. He chose more disciples to be fishers of men. He cast out demons from a man and healed Peter's mother-in-law, and many came to him for healing and for exorcism. He prayed alone and often. He traveled about doing good, including the healing of a leper and the raising of a paralytic.
What we are in the midst of here is an avalanche of information about what he did. There's a lot to be said. He was confronted by religious authorities. He ate with sinners. He healed a paralyzed man who was waiting by the pool of Bethesda for angels to come stir the water. He let his disciples gather food on the Sabbath, breaking tradition. He healed on the Sabbath, breaking tradition. Beside the lake in Galilee, he healed large numbers of people with diseases and evil spirits. He gave a nickname to one of his disciples. He preached a massive sermon on a mountainside and pretty much the same one on a level place.
He healed a centurion slave in Capernaum. He raised a widow's son from his coffin. He gave sight to the blind, the ability to walk, to the lame. cleansed lepers, restored the hearing of the deaf, and preached the good news to the poor. He forgave a sinful woman as she anointed his feet with oil. He called out the powerful theological lawyers for their hypocrisy. He spoke in parables. He slept on the ground. He calmed a stormy lake and saved his disciples from shipwreck.
He cast out demons from a man living among the tombs. He healed a woman who had bled for 12 years as he was on his way to raise a little girl, the daughter of one of the synagogue rulers, and then was followed by two blind men calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David," and he did. He healed them both. And then he drove out a demon that had made a man unable to speak, and he was accused by the Pharisees of doing it in the name of the prince of demons. He was rejected by the people in his hometown when they heard him teach, and it seems to have disheartened him so that he could not do any miracles there except heal a few of the sick. He gave his apostles the power to heal and sent them out to spread the message of the kingdom.
Great crowds began to follow him, and he healed those who needed healing. He fed 5,000 with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, and those who had eaten called him the prophet who has come into the world, and tried to proclaim him king, but he left them and went to a mountain alone. He rejoined his disciples who were on a boat. He got to them by walking on the water, and in the process saved Peter, who also tried to walk on water, and his disciples called him Son of God. He got off the boat at Gennesaret, and wherever he went, into villages and towns and countryside, they placed the sick in front of him in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the hem of his garment, the cloak, and all who touched him were healed.
He was approached by a Canaanite woman, a non-believer, who pled with him to cast a demon out of her daughter, and he did so, praising her great faith. In the Decapolis, a man was brought to him who could neither hear nor speak, and he healed him. And then the crowds brought him the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and he healed them. He turned to a crowd of 4,000 who were following him, and when he saw they were hungry, he fed them with 7 loaves, leaving 7 basketfuls uneaten left over. In Bethsaida, he healed a blind man in 2 stages. Peter, James, John, on a mountaintop, saw him in another dimension, transfigured, talking with Moses and Elijah, and they heard God's voice affirming, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And they saw that he was greater than Moses and Elijah, superior to both the law and the prophets.
A sad and distraught father brought him his boy, who showed the signs of epilepsy, unable to speak, throwing him to the ground, foaming at the mouth, falling into fire and water. And all of this was attributed to an evil spirit. And Jesus dealt with that evil spirit, healing the boy. He welcomed children and blessed them. In Jerusalem, he forgave and blessed a woman who was brought to him for stoning because she was caught in adultery. He also, near a pool, healed a man born blind who knew nothing about Jesus but said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Traveling between Samaria and Galilee, he was approached by 10 lepers who asked for healing, and he healed them with the thanks of only one of them. He was so compelling that he commissioned 72 men to evangelize ahead of him, and they were still willing to go when he said he was sending them out like lambs among wolves and told them that some would reject him.
He rested in the home of Mary and Martha. He wept over Jerusalem. In the home of a prominent Pharisee, he healed a man with dropsy, which meant congestive heart failure. He raised his friend Lazarus from the dead after joining Lazarus' sisters and friends in mourning for him. This was the last straw for the religious authorities, and they began to think about how to kill him and to kill Lazarus too. In Jericho, he entered the home of the hated and friendless chief tax collector, and as he left the city, he healed blind Bartimaeus. In Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, he was anointed with expensive ointment by one of the Marys. He entered Jerusalem in triumph, riding on a donkey's colt, and the crowds overwhelmed him with praise. And he went back to Bethany, left again for Jerusalem the next morning, was hungry, and unaccountably condemned a fig tree to unfruitfulness. He cleansed the temple of people who were exploiting worshipers in the temple area, and it's good that we got out just ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. The blind and the lame came to him, and he healed them. He predicted his death and returned to Bethany again for Jerusalem, where the authorities began to confront him directly and looked for a way to arrest him without being noticed by the crowd. He taught in the temple, spending his nights on the Mount of Olives. He sent his disciples to prepare for the Passover and met with them in a private room where he established an eternal memorial of bread and wine in his memory. He washed the disciples' feet. He predicted his betrayal. He went with all of them except Judas to the Mount of Olives, where he taught them and prayed for himself and for the disciples. Leaving the Mount of Olives, he led them across the Kidron Valley to Gethsemane, an olive press, where he prayed in agony to be spared what he knew must come, sweating blood, while they slept. Judas led the temple authorities to him and identified him with a kiss and restored the ear of the high priest's servant after the sleeping Peter awoke and had cut off that ear.
He was arrested, tried, condemned, tortured, denied and abandoned by his disciples, mocked by a multitude of people, and given the penalty most dreaded by criminals, crucifixion. After he was dead from loss of blood and smothering, he was taken down and laid in a tomb that was not his own, guarded by soldiers for fear that his followers might steal the body. And he was resurrected and was seen by the women who followed him, his inner circle of his disciples, to two men walking on a road to Emmaus, to his disciples again, to Thomas, who had not been with the disciples the first couple of appearances, to 500 people at once in Galilee, to the disciples again by the Sea of Galilee, gave a particular commission to Peter, commissioned all the disciples to make disciples, promised them the Spirit, and ascended into heaven. And that's just some of what he did that is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You find anything in there that might be read in one of our assemblies, maybe in all of our assemblies every time we meet? Now let's remember what he said. And then we can see him more clearly after we've seen him act and heard him talk. And then perhaps we can be better disciples and of a friend and guide who also happens to be the most alive and central figure in history. So here's just a portion of what he said. Much of it is paraphrased.
We are not as dependent on food as we are dependent on every word that God has spoken. Don't challenge God or try to bargain with him. Worship and serve only God. You will see heaven open and angels descending and descending, ascending and descending upon me. Mother, my time is not yet come, but fill the jars with water anyway. No one can see the kingdom of God unless she is born again of water and the Spirit. The Son of Man must be lifted up that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you to drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in you a spring of water welling up to eternal life. A time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. I, who speak to you, am Messiah.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. The fields are ripe for harvest. You may go, your son will live. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men. I am willing. Be clean. Son, your sins are forgiven. I tell you, take up your mat and go home. Follow me. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Do you want to get well? Get up. Walk.
For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. She who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. She has crossed over from death to life. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He said, if you want to live a kingdom life, be the kind of person who admits her poverty of spirit, mourns over the sorrow of others, is filled with energy and power, but is controlled in the way she uses it, is ravenous and panting for righteousness, shows mercy to others, single-mindedly seeks God, makes peace rather than disputes, accepts persecution for being this kind of person, serves as a preservative in the world like salt and food, lets her light shine all over the place, is good through and through, better than the Pharisees, avoids wrathfulness and contempt toward others.
That describes you, you know. Be the kind of man who seeks reconciliation when relationships are broken, whether that's with a brother or a legal adversary. Be the kind of man who doesn't look at women for the purpose of lusting after them, damaging both them and yourself. Don't forget about the 2x4. Be the kind of man who cherishes the wife he has been given and works only for her good, has a reputation for absolute frankness and honesty. Be the kind of man who is so respectful of others, so committed to human dignity that it's given even to the person who hits him. Shows love even for enemies and seeks their highest good. The kind of person who gives to the needy in secret. The kind of person who really prays and does so without bragging about it. Put everything you value most in the hands of God. If you keep it, it will rot. Keep your eyes open to God's light. Don't let the darkness get into you. Decide, is your life for God or for money?
Don't judge, don't condemn, forgive. Give in every way abundantly and more non-judgment than you can imagine. More non-condemnation than you could hope for. More than you ever gave will come right back at you. Don't forget about the 2x4 that you carry around in your eye when you try to extract the piece of sawdust from your sister's eye. Work on your own stuff first and only. Some people are not ready to respond to these words. Figure out who they are before they can discourage you by rejecting your words and never understanding. Ask, seek, knock, and God will answer, just like you respond to your children with good things when they ask. It's not an easy path to walk. Walk it anyway. You'll be glad. You're going to meet people who claim to be following God who aren't. When someone has a big message for you and claims it is from God, take a good hard look at their lives. That's what God will do in the end. Why not build your life on this solid foundation? Why not live this way so that when the tornadoes of life hit you, your life will still be standing when they lift? And you will see the lives of those who don't live this way wrecked all around you.
He said to a centurion who had begged him to heal his servant and who was near death, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. He said to a woman whose son had died, don't cry. And then he said, young man, I say to you, get up. Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. But another time he said, no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me, for whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water, who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ, will certainly not lose their reward. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person brings good things out of the good stored up in them, and the evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up in them.
Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. When your eyes are good, your whole body is full of light, and when they are bad, your body is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Woe, you religious legalists! Clean out the inside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. You give to God a tenth of everything, and you neglect the justice and the love of God. You love the most important seats in the synagogues and the greetings in the marketplace. You load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. You have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have entered, and you have hindered those who want to enter. Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A woman's life does not consist in the abundance of her possessions. It will not go well for anyone who stores up things for herself but is not rich toward God. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, the body more than clothes. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to her life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? The pagans run after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given you as well.
And I think you can relax a bit, because he says nothing about purses in this list of things that you're not supposed to worry about.
I am relieved about that.
Don't worry. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Yep.
Don't worry. Don't worry. Trust God, and he will take care of all of it. Mm-hmm. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Provide for yourselves a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I have come to bring fire on the earth. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division, even family divided against each other. As you're going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on the way. Unless you repent, you will all perish. Woman, you are set free from your infirmity.
He spoke in parables. Don't hide your light. Let it shine. Let it shine. The kingdom is like a mustard seed, tiny, but when it grows, it far exceeds any expectation you might have had for the tiny seed. And it's like yeast that's hidden in the dough, but it makes the bread rise and useful anyway. The kingdom is worth everything you have. Sell out and buy the kingdom. It's like a pearl found in a bargain sale. Sell everything you have and buy that pearl. Even neglect the things in life that seem more important, like going to your father's funeral. Instead, go out and proclaim the kingdom. No matter how important the details of your life might seem, no matter how much you value your family, if you have to walk away from them without looking back while you seek the kingdom, do it.
Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? He said to the formerly demon-possessed Gerasene, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. He said, who touched my clothes? And then he said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be freed from your suffering. He said, don't be afraid. Just believe. Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. Little girl, I say to you, get up. According to your faith, will it be done to you. Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. He said, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
He said to his disciples, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. He said, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise her up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I remain in her. To his 12, after a great many turned away from following him, he said, you do not want to leave too, do you? Don't you see that nothing that enters a woman from the outside can make her unclean? What comes out of a woman is what makes her unclean. For from within, out of our hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Who do you say that I am? If anyone would come after me, she must deny herself and take up her cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save her life will lose it, but whoever loses her life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a woman to gain the whole world yet forfeit her own soul? Or what can a woman give in exchange for her soul?
Get up. Don't be afraid. Bring the boy to me. How long has he been like this? Everything is possible for him who believes. You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. He said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. He said, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. they will kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. He said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Be at peace with each other. If two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them.
If your sister sins, rebuke her, and if she repents, forgive her. If she sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive her. And do that 77 times if you are asked to forgive that many times. You must forgive your sister from your heart. I'm not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know me, but I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. If anyone is thirsty, let her come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within her. If any one of you is without sin, let her be the first to throw the stone. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you knew me, you would also know my Father. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.
I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. I and the Father are one. I am the kind of shepherd who, when 1 of 100 sheep are lost and 99 safe, I will go back to find the one. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Oh, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing.
Everyone who exalts herself will be humbled, and she who humbles herself will be exalted. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Any of you who does not give up everything she has cannot be my disciple. No servant can serve two masters. Either she will hate the one and love the other, or she will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. I am the resurrection and the life. She who believes in me will live, even though she dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.
The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And I would pause here and ask the story. When was the last time you heard that story told? Does that have any bearing on whether or not the gospel is being preached? I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it a den of robbers? The person who loves their life will lose it, while the person who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Father, glorify your name. If you have faith and do not doubt, you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. Many are invited, but few are chosen.
You are not far from the kingdom of God. The greatest among you will be your servant. You have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness. You strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything and all she had to live on. Keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life.
I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. This is my body. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. One of you is going to betray me. The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl will betray me. Yes, it is you. What you are about to do, do quickly.
Because I live, you will also live. You are in me, and I am in you. If anyone loves me, she will obey my teaching, and my Father and I will make our home with her. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. That's not the kind of peace that the world claims to give. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid.
I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Sit here while I pray. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?
Are you still sleeping and resting? The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.
If you're looking for me, then let these men go. Put your sword away, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. If I spoke the truth, why did you strike me? In Dublin, Ireland, we saw a fragment of the Gospel of John in the Chester, but Jesus didn't say this. In Dublin, Ireland, we saw a fragment of the Gospel of John in the Chester Beatty collection. And it was this account of Jesus speaking to his mother and John from the cross. Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And that fragment, that little fragment, was written only 125 years after the event. So near the event that I felt for a moment that I was there. I could see him. Dear woman, here is your son. Here is your mother.
My God, why have you forsaken me? I am thirsty. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? Mary, do not hold on to me, for I have not returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.
We haven't even been able to finish our summary of what he did and what he said. Is it possible that there is something in all of that that could be shared with the congregation each and every time the congregation comes together? Is there anything? Is there anything? Discipleship is about seeing, knowing the Jesus of the four Gospels, the Gospels that cover the record of the most remarkable 3 years of the most significant figure in the history of the world. He came proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the place on earth where God's will is done in heaven. And virtually all of his actions, all of his words, were about the kind of life we might expect in a place where God's will is done, as it is in heaven, and the kind of people we might expect to be and to meet in that kingdom. Discipleship of Jesus Christ is not about being nice. It's not about being friendly. It's not about being successful. Nice, friendly, successful, three words that do not appear among the words of Jesus. You didn't hear them. His words are about following him, learning from him, knowing what he did And what he said is the path to seeing Jesus. True, we can read the Gospels in the privacy of our own homes and in our personal devotions, and we do. But what prevents us from hearing something of what he said and something of what he did every time we gather with other believers in our worship assemblies? That is how we, our children, our grandchildren, and those who are seeking him can come to see him, and we might develop the mind of Christ. But it's very difficult to follow someone if you can't see them. Remember the two disciples who met the resurrected Jesus on the road to Emmaus? After walking with him and talking with him, not realizing who he was, there was a moment when Luke tells us that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And later they remembered something. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us? In closing, we ask, if the church hears more about what he did and what he said, is it possible that our eyes will be opened and that we will see him anew, that our collective mind will be the mind of Christ? Is it possible that our hearts will be set on fire again?
We would see Jesus.
We would see Jesus.